with Chris Uzinski on AM 800 CKLW, the information station. Running Flat Radio is a paid program on AM 800.
That day, for no particular reason, I decided to go for a little run. So I ran to the end of the road.
And for a little run, I did.
When I got there, I thought maybe I'd run to the end of town.
Welcome to Running Flat Radio. Chris Uzinski here. If you're unfamiliar with Running Flat Radio, it's a show really all about endurance sports. And this week we're talking about Ironman and triathlon. And we have a real special guest on today's show. So our feature interview is a good friend of ours, legendary Ironman triathlon writer and sports ambassador, Bob Babbitt, joins me to discuss the history of triathlon and its future. He was also the founder of Competitor Magazine, and which is now called Competitor Group, and which today is one of the largest production companies by far in the world when it comes to endurance sports. And, you know, most famously, they do the Rock and Roll series of marathons globally. Bob also hosts an endurance radio show out of San Diego called Babbittville Radio, and he's also going to join us live from San Diego really after the commercial break that's coming up. We also have Song of the Week, which is that song that kind of gets you off the couch and into the driveway and down the road, kind of motivating you. We have Song of the Week this week, and then Ben Kaplan from iRun Magazine talking about the running news, stuff that's happening right now in Canada. So Running Flat produces running events, almost entirely road races. We don't do obstacle course because we just can't get our head around liability and everything else. We focus on the 5K, 10K, half marathon. We will be bringing a marathon back, hopefully in 2017, because we did discontinue the Run for Heroes in Amherstburg, so that will be kind of reappearing, hopefully in 2017. But what's really important is that we're just over a month away from Le Chocolat. And Le Chocolat is really the city's premier event. It's the city's only half marathon. And it's the only time in the city of Windsor where we close off Walker Road right to the bridge and give you that incredible Detroit River Vista along Riverside Drive, all closed up just to have a great running experience. And we have, it's a half marathon, 21K. It's a 10K runner walk, and it's a 5K runner walk. And it's also home of the National 10K All Age Group Championship presented by Athletics Canada. So that all happens May 1st. And it is our, we call it our Mother's Day primer because it's the weekend before Mother's Day. And it's called Le Chocolat because there's a ton of chocolate. And the swag we give are not shirts, you know, with everybody's logos on the back. You know, we actually give folks something that they can use. So what they'll get is two bottles of Running Girl wine, along with a reusable, you know, like neoprene bag that's going to hold it. And that's what they get, red and white, and take it home. It's an awesome swag. And over the next number of weeks, we're going to kind of tell you a little bit more about Running Girl wines and what it means and what it means to running and the charitable component behind that. But so we'll get to that. We'll save that for you. One of the other races that is open is the is our Canada Day race. That's D'EH. Canada Day is a really unique race because it's the only race in the world where you actually get to vote on whose head goes on the medal. The medal is this iconic Canadian red maple leaf, and inside of the red maple leaf is the bust of a famous Canadian. So, you know, we've had Sir John A. Macdonald, we've had Terry Fox, we've had Commander Chris Hadfield. So now what happens is as you register, you have to vote. So the three nominees for this year are Wayne Gretzky, Don Cherry, and Clara Hughes. Finally, a woman in the finals, you know, that we can vote on. And so when you register, you vote for one of those, and then you suggest who you want for next year for us to vote on, whether it's, you know, Rush or Rusty the Rooster or, you know, any other great Canadian, maybe the current prime minister or maybe his dad. I mean, it's wide open. Dan Aykroyd, we've seen them all. So what we do is in the winter months, we tally up the top three and then introduce those as our finalists for 2017. So it kind of perpetuates itself year over year. The Canada Day race is the single largest race in Canada on Canada Day in Amherstburg, Ontario. It's hard to believe, but we are larger than Ottawa, Edmonton, Vancouver, every major city in Canada. And this year will be like no other exception. We're going to do the same thing. We have people who've registered from Texas and Singapore and all around the United States and all over Canada who are going to come in and run this race. It is just a 5K, by the way, and it's a 5K run or a 5K walk, but it's a fantastic way to celebrate Canada Day. We have butter tarts at the end. You know, we have maple syrup. We have, it's, you know, we have Bob and Doug McKenzie on the course. It really is a lot of Canadian fun. And it's a great way to also kick off the day in Amherstburg because, you know, they have an ice cream festival and they end it off with a great fireworks display. And this is all in the shadows of a historic 1812 battle fort. So you got to look at it. Go to runningflat.com. Take a look at our Canada Day race and any of the other races that we produce. But it's really worth your while to take a look at that. One of the unique things about Canada Day this year is we've offered a virtual side to the race, which is really nice because let's say you've got relatives, you know, in Germany or Mexico or anywhere else in the world or other parts of Canada, and they'd love to be a part of Canadian, celebrating Canada Day or being part of a Canadian race like Canada Day. And you can actually sign up virtually where we'll send you the medal, we'll send you the shirt, and we'll send you the bib and make sure it's there before Canada Day. So when July 1st comes around, you can proudly wear it and, you know, run around Bonn, Germany, or wherever you may be. It's so we do have a number of people who are signing up as well for the virtual side of that race. We are going to do the color run this year. In the next couple of weeks, we'll talk a little bit more about that. Registration for VIPs will open up this week for color run. It's not color run days. It's not the same event. It's color run nights. We use iridescent paint, we use a lot of black lighting, we use a lot of EDM music on the course, and we, of course, have a great dance party at the end. Color Run Nights is coming to Windsor, and it is July 23rd, and it is going to be an absolute blast. So, you know, check out that, and also keep looking at our weekly newsletter that we send out to all our runners for more information about that. And I got to tell you, go to your calendar right now, mark September 10th on the calendar. It's the largest race that Running Flat's produced, and it is in downtown Detroit. I got to tell you, we're so proud of this. It's 2 years in the works that we've been working on this race, and I still can't announce it. I still can't say anything, and it's killing me. We're about 2 weeks away from doing a final announcement and a press release for it, but it's a race, trust me, that you're going to want to do. You're going to want to be a part of it because it's only going to happen once. September 10th of this year coming up, it's a Saturday, and it's a must-do, so just mark that in your calendar. You know what? You're listening to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Uzinski, and when we come back, we're going to talk to our good friend Bob Babbitt on Running Flat Radio.
Food has a way of transporting you around the world. From the streets of Madrid to the cafes of France. On Friday, April 8th, St. Clair College is leaving on a jet plane in celebration of international cuisine at the 26th Annual Gourmet Wine and Food Gala. Travel to a new exciting locale with every course and every sip. Live entertainment provided by Intrigue. The 26th Annual Gourmet Food and Wine Gala at St. Clair College. Learn more at stclairfoundation.ca.
AM 800 Weather is brought to you by Devonshire Mall. Join us at Devonshire Mall this Saturday at 10 a.m. for the 20th Annual Easter Extravaganza. Visit devonshiremall.com for details and special Easter hours.
The latest forecast now from the AM 800 Weather Center. For tonight, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, gusty southwest winds, and a low of 7. Cloudy for tomorrow, 40% chance of showers in the morning, periods of rain beginning near noon with the risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high reaching 10. Rain continuing tomorrow night, the low dropping to 5. Periods of rain for Thursday with a high of 8. For Friday, cloudy, 30% chance of flurries or rain showers, the high of 6.
The legendary Mr. Instant Teller is back.
Jones, you forget $400.
$400, that's a nice jump for you.
That is nice.
$500.
$500. Stuff with $25,000. From AM 800 and WFCU Credit Union. And he's game to give it all away.
$400.
That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I'm
I'm talking about.
Yeah.
You also need the daily four-digit PIN number from AM800CKLW.com.
Be the right caller, and it's your turn to play. The first withdrawal is free. After that, the dollar amounts could go up.
Or they might go down. It all depends on Mr. Instant Teller's mood.
Push him too far, and he'll have a meltdown.
I've had enough of you pushing my buttons.
But he will give you a gift certificate from Antonino's Original Pizza.
Exclusively from AM800 and WFCU Credit Union.
WFCU Credit Union offers competitive mortgage rates and much more. Get personalized professional service and a wide range of prepayment options to help pay off your mortgage faster. WFCU Credit Union. We're not a bank. We're better.
Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Get more info on local races and registration at runningflat.com.
And welcome back to Running Flat Radio. Bob Babbitt is the founder of Competitor Group, and he is really the unofficial historian of the Ironman story. He's been involved in the event since 1980, 2 years after it started, and he hosts a great podcast series called Breakfast with Bob, where he goes one-on-one with all the elite athletes in Hawaii. He's been an inductee in the Ironman and the Triathlon USA Hall of Fame, and he's an author, and he hosts an endurance radio show out of San Diego called Babbittville Radio. So, Bob, welcome to Running Flat Radio. How are you?
Fine, Chris. How are you doing?
Great, thanks. So, you know, when we met in Los Angeles a couple weeks ago, you gave me a book on the 25th anniversary of Ironman. And I got to tell you, on the way back, I haven't put this book down because it's such an incredible introspective and retrospective of Ironman. Are you like the historian of Ironman?
I don't know if I'm the historian, but I certainly love the history of it. My whole house is, you know, I've got every newspaper from the day after Ironman going back to 1980. I don't know. I knew as soon as I finished my first one in 1980 that this event changed my life. And if it changed my life, it's going to change a lot of others. So it was just sort of that aha moment where I knew this was where I was supposed to be. And this event was special. If I think about it, the Ironman led to me creating Competitor Magazine. We showcased, obviously, Ironman through that, and the Ironman was really the reason I met Jim McLaren, who was the amputee athlete who ended up becoming the reason we started the Challenge Athletes Foundation. So pretty much everything I've done since that first Ironman has been connected to that brand.
And when did you first hear of Ironman? Can you remember that day?
Absolutely. There was an article in Sports Illustrated in 1979, and the article was about Tom Warren, who won the race. And Tom owned a tavern in San Diego called Tug's Tavern. And remember, back in 78, 79, the first 2 years of Ironman, it was 15 starters total and 12 finishers. So, you know, when they did an 8-page article in Sports Illustrated, back in the day, you know, Sports Illustrated was it. And you did an 8-page article on this event. And at the time, I was rooming with a guy named Ned Overend, who went on to become world mountain bike champion. But mountain bikes hadn't been invented yet. So he was a mechanic at San Diego Suzuki. I was a school teacher, and we read about this thing, and it just sounded really cool. So I tracked down Tom Warren to find out more about this thing called the Ironman. How do you train for it? What exactly is it? I thought it was a two-day event. I thought you swam 2.4 miles, rode 56, camped out, and rode back the next day and ran the marathon. So, you know, I had a bike with panniers and a tent and sleeping bag, getting ready to sleep between day one and day two. $75 bike from a police auction. The back end had been burnt in a fire. And yeah, had no idea what we were doing. Flat-proof tires, because I didn't know how to change a tire, so solid rubber tires on there. Radio Shack radio on the foam handlebars. And then I had the fuzzy raccoon seat cover, because I wanted to protect my butt.
Absolutely.
So, we really didn't know. Ignorance, it turns out, really is bliss.
So in 1980, obviously, there was more than 15 or 12 finishers and 15 competitors.
108. It boomed. I was number three. I wore number three because I set my $25 in third. So I was seated, and I had no idea. So when people say, you know, what was your best ever race? I go, well, it was, you know, 55th at the Ironman World Championship. And they're like, wow. You know, there was only 108 of us.
That's right. So
but it was an adventure. You had your own support crew. There was this was before it moved to Kona. You were on the island of Oahu. And it was one of those things where it's just, it was an adventure. And to a certain degree, it really hasn't changed from the perspective of, for even though people are trying to go fast, it's still an adventure because you don't know when you start that day if you're the defending champion, like Marin the Carfrey was last year, or if you're some person who got in through the lottery, if you're going to get to the finish line. And Marinda didn't, you know, she had a drop out there in a bike last year.
Right.
I call it an equal opportunity abuser because it doesn't matter how big you are, how small you are. It's just if you do a little bit of swimming, a little bit of cycling, a little bit of riding, a little bit of running, you can become a triathlete and one day do an Ironman. You don't have to have any athletic skills to do that.
So is that where your love of triathlon started, was 1980?
Yeah, I had done local races here in San Diego starting in 78 and 79 when I first moved out here from Chicago. And I just loved the fact that, you know, when you're a hyperactive type of kid, and I was still considered myself a kid because I was in my late 20s, you know, the nice thing, I liked running and I liked doing marathons and stuff like that, but I love the idea that I'm swimming, this is really fun, this is really cool, I'm getting bored, I'm done, right? And then the bike, this is so much fun, I got the wind in my face, oh, my butt is starting to hurt, I'm done. So you're constantly going from one thing to another, and it just made it so you never got bored, which to me was what it was all about.
And where do you think, because you and I had a long conversation about this, where do you think triathlon is today versus all those exciting years back in the early 80s and the growth in the 90s, and even the growth that we saw within the last 10 years?
Well, I mean, a number of things that happened to really pop the sport up. One was becoming an Olympic sport in 2000. It was the first event in Sydney. There was the first event of the Games. They wanted to, you know, Australia is endurance sports crazy. So they decided to use the triathlon to basically paint a postcard of Sydney. So it was the opening event of the Games, and it just, you know, it changed the perception of the sport. You had crowds, 10 people on the road. Everybody just loved the experience, and the gals, Lisa Lacks, who produced that TV show, actually had produced the Ironman for years. So she loved triathlon and made sure that the sport got showcased. And then over the years, with the expansion of Ironman into the U.S., I mean, you had Kona, the Ironman World Championship, but until 98-99, there really weren't any in at Ironman Canada, but you really had nothing in mainland USA
right
until Ironman Lake Placid, and then Panama City, Florida, then Coeur d'Alene. So right now there's over 90 Ironman 70.3 races in the world, over 40 full Ironman races in the world, plus a lot of other brands. So, you know, I call our whole world, Chris, the world that you and I live in,
yeah,
I call it the endurance entertainment marketplace. Because back in the day, we had running and triathlon and cycling. Well, now we have Color Run and Spartan Race and Tough Mudder and Warrior Dash. There's so much else out there. There's more people putting race numbers on than ever before. But it's also difficult for triathlon or for running, you know, to maintain the growth that they've had over the years, because there's so much more competition out there than ever before.
And look, we all know the story about Ironman being bought by really an income fund, and now it's being purchased by a Chinese billionaire.
Wanda, largest landowner in China. Huh?
And where do you see that change, and how do you see that changing the face of Ironman as we know it?
Well, you know, I think the real positive, and you're seeing it, I heard an announcement today, I think either the NFL or the NBA is talking about playing some games in China. Well, the reality is, when you look at film consumption, right now China is about to surpass the U.S. in the number of people going to theaters to watch movies. There's an emerging middle class in China,
mm-hmm,
that it was never there before. You either were rich or poor. Well, now there's a middle class that's traveling, that's doing events. So if you look what's happening and wind up buying the Ironman brand from Providence, they see the growth of the sport and people in China and all throughout Asia getting into the sport. So all that's going to do is, if there's 70.3 races now, which is a 1.2-mile swim and 56-mile bike and 13.1-mile run, there's probably going to be, before the end of 2017, there'll be 105, 110 events, because the big growth area is Asia, is South America, is Europe, and is, Middle East.
All the emerging markets.
Yeah, and I like it. I just got back from Ironman Dubai, a month or so ago, and these are full races. You've got a lot of expats who live over in Dubai, but you also, what I like is when our sport changes lives. And you've got an issue around the world, childhood obesity, as well as diabetes. And because of, the Western food, the McDonald's and the rest of it that comes into these other parts of the world, that's an issue. All of a sudden, their kids are obese. Well, triathlon is that sport that can get people off the couch and get them back into, get them understanding lifetime fitness. As I say all the time, running is wonderful, but the orthopedic reality is every runner at some point needs to become a cyclist or a swimmer, because you can't continue to run and improve when you're, 50, 60 years old. Your body just starts to break down.
We always need to be CrossFit. We always need to be looking at different things to do, whether it's yoga or, walking, whatever. Hey, Bob, can you hold through with the break with us?
Of course.
You're listening to Running Flat Radio. Our special guest tonight is Bob Babbitt from Babbittville Radio, and we'll be back right after these messages.
The Brain Injury Association of Windsor-Essex County presents the third annual Sports and Sparkle, the main event, on April 9th at the Kubota Club. Juanita Kasem and CTV's Bob Belichico will be your hosts. Enjoy dinner, dancing, auctions, and games. Meet sports celebrities, professional football players, Miss Teen United Nations, an Olympic bobsledder, a boxer, a teen MMA fighter, and more. For tickets, call 519-981-1329 or visit BIAWE.com. Sponsored by AM800 and CTV Windsor. Proceeds support the program of your local Brain Injury Association.
They always make sure you start your day off in a good way.
The Morning Drive on AM 800. Your introduction to today.
On the next show, we are supposed to get a lot of rain on Wednesday and Thursday, so we will have the latest weather updates for you throughout the morning.
And at 7:20, answer me this. Boston Marathon survivor Heather Abbott will go head-to-head with one of our listeners, and we'll see who can answer more questions correctly in 30 seconds.
The Morning Drive, weekday mornings 5 till 9 on AM 800. Good things are happening right now. There are so many new and exciting events going on in Windsor-Essex that it can be hard to keep track of them. From clubs, festivals, community groups, theater, activism, charity functions, live music, and so much more. To keep you on top of it all, AM 800's community calendar has an up-to-date list for you to check out. Go online to am800cklw.com to see it all for yourself. Have a nonprofit event you'd like to promote? Email us at calendar@am800cklw.com.
It's 7:30.
From the AM 800 News Center, your number one news source in Windsor-Essex, an information update with Paul McDonald.
The Liberal government's maiden federal budget includes billions in new spending on Aboriginal peoples and veterans, a revamped Canada Child benefit, and changes to employment insurance to soften the blow of a flagging economy. But it comes at a cost. Finance Minister Bill Morneau is projecting a $29.4 billion deficit this year, three times the promised $10 billion shortfall, and a $17.7 billion deficit in 2019-20, the year the budget was supposed to be balanced. The union representing Windsor Public Library employees is calling the board back to the table to resume negotiations. More than 20 members of CUPE Local 2067.1 protested this afternoon outside the main branch on Olette Avenue. President Amanda Melosh says they want fair bargaining. Mediation is scheduled for tomorrow. If an agreement is not reached, the workers will be locked out on Thursday. A Windsor man who has been deemed a high-risk traveler has been sentenced to another 4 months behind bars. 28-year-old Mohammed Al-Sheer pleaded guilty to three charges today, including possession of ID documents that were not in his name. Justice Douglas Phillips told Al-Sheer he's a fraud and has no regard or respect for Canadian law. And police have charged a former auditor at the city of Windsor. Angela Berry faces a charge of fraud over $5,000. Police allege Berry used her position to issue a series of checks totaling $36,000 that she benefited from. Berry has not worked at the city since last April. In sports, the Leamington Flyers are on home ice tonight, looking to gain an edge in their Junior B playoff series with Chatham. And the Essex 73s open the Schmaltz Cup quarterfinal series with Dorchester tonight in E-Town. Puck drops this hour. Weather-wise, cloudy with possible showers tonight, a low of 7, 14 right now, 57 Fahrenheit. I'm Paul McDonald, AM 800 News.
Working at heights training requirements are the law in Ontario. If you're an employer who has workers who work at heights in construction, make sure they're trained. If you're a homeowner, hiring a contractor who will have workers working at heights, such as replacing a roof, you should ask if they have the training and how they'll work safely. To find out more, visit ontario.ca/workingatheights. Paid for by the Government of Ontario.
Helping you achieve your personal best. This is Running Flat Radio with Chris Yasinski on AM 800.
Welcome back to Running Flat Radio. I'm Chris Yasinski. Our special guest tonight is Bob Babbitt from Babbittville Radio. And we just kind of talked about the history of Ironman and really its scope around the globe. And, you know, all of that in Bob's life also started up Competitor Group. Bob was the founder of Competitor Magazine early on. And I always wondered, how did you start that magazine?
Well, you know what's interesting is when I first was exposed to the sport of triathlon and Ironman in 1980, I came back. And there was a local paper in town called the Running News. And I was telling Mike Plant, who's the editor of the Running News, you know, Mike, this sport of triathlon is really starting to catch on. And he, you know, here was a sport that 108 of us had just done. So it was not like it was big numbers. It was something about that sport that I thought was really special. So I left teaching when Mike offered me a job to be LA editor of what became Running and Triathlon News. He actually added the name to his magazine's masthead. So I became the LA editor, and the art teacher from the school I was at, Lois Schwartz, became the photographer, and the two of us would drive to LA every weekend and cover running and triathlon and cycling events, and we loved it. It was the coolest thing. It was like, you know, 84, 85.
Right.
So then what happened was the magazine was sold, and they ended up closing the magazine down. So I was out of job, and Lois was without a job. So I went and met with two guys who had three cycling magazines, California Bicyclist and Southwest Cycling. And I said to both of the owners, I said, guys, if we did a magazine, if we worked together on a magazine that covered running, triathlon, and cycling, I think we could do something really special. And both of them told me the same thing. They said, one, triathlon's a fad and it'll be gone in 5 years. And we'll never put a skinny runner on the cover of our magazine. So I came back pretty bummed out that, God, I don't know what we're going to do. And some friends and advertisers from Running and Triathlon News came to Lois and I with a check for $17,000 and said, go start your own magazine. And this was in May. Running and Triathlon News closed in April. This was in May of 87. And our first edition of Competitor came out in June of 87. And you know, we were in 200 square feet of office under 20,000 pounds of bike rock, racks in a guy's garage. We didn't pay ourselves. I lived on friends' floors for the first year and a half. And you know, we didn't know that 95% of all magazines go out of business in the first year. And we just, you know what? We loved what we were doing. We just loved it. And somehow we survived. We grew it from one edition of Competitor to 11 editions around the country, 500,000 circulation. In the meantime, I started Competitor Radio and started the Muddy Buddy Ride and Run series in 1999. And it was just everything moved really, really quickly. And then in 2008, sold the Competitor brand. Had the Competitor magazine. We had the radio show. We had the Competitor Endurance Sports Awards, where we sort of the Academy Awards for Endurance Sports. And at the same time, the group that bought us, Falcon Head Private Equity, they bought the Rock and Roll Marathon Series, which was 7 events. They bought Triathlete Magazine. They bought Inside Communications, which was Velo News, and created, put everything under the umbrella of the of competitor group, CGI, which, you know, for when I first started competitor, people were like, oh, that's not going to last very long. Who's going to care about this stuff? And then knowing that a private equity firm believed enough in my brand to invest in it and grow it. This over from 2008, 2012, went from 7 rock and rolls to 34, went international with that, 1 million participants. And what really changed the scope of our world was 60 to 65% women.
Right.
Through the charity programs, the growth of running was on the shoulders of all these amazing women who decided to change their life through marathon and half marathon.
That's right, and change the entire industry.
Totally. Because, you know why, you think about it, Chris, back in the day, if you and I were going to a running event, guys, right, rather than pay $2 for parking, you and I would drop you off at the expo, you'd run in and get your stuff, I'd drive around the block, then you would jump in the car, then I would run to get my stuff, we'd stop our stopwatch, we were at the expo for 12 seconds. So all of a sudden, when you've got, you know, you've got 1 million participants and, you know, 60 to 65% women, those expos change a tad. It becomes a shopping spree. It becomes a different entity, which again made those expos so much more valuable,
right,
for not just the participants but for the brand.
There was something else that you and I had kind of veered off and talked about for a bit, and that was the kind of current state of small triathlons. Last year on Running Flat Radio, we did a kind of a 2-part special on, is triathlon dead? Kind of, right. Looking at you know, the smaller ones that, you know, some of the folks who are looking more to just getting the, let's say, the tattoo on their calf, you know, of Ironman, were kind of, you know, bypassing the local small traditional triathlons that have been around for 10, 20, you know, 15 years, whatever. And then you'd mentioned something to me about a new resurgence of triathlons, small triathlons happening in, yep, Southern California that I thought was absolutely fascinating. And can you explain that?
Sure. One of the fact I just, in the last 5 weeks, I've done 5 triathlons, and 2 of them were pool triathlons, one at the Rose Bowl. So imagine this concept. We're trying to, the low-hanging fruit to me for getting people into the sport of triathlon is the hundreds of thousands and millions of people doing marathons. Like I said, the orthopedic reality is every one of these runners eventually is going to need to ride a bike. So the pool or reverse triathlon starts with a 5K run. So if you're a runner, a 5K run, you do that all the time.
Yep.
Then you jump on your bike, and at the Rose Bowl event, it was 3 5K loops around the Rose Bowl. So, you know, how many, you could ride 3 miles, and then you do it again and again. So you're riding 9 miles. Then you're getting off the bike, and you're running over to a pool, and you're swimming 150 to 200 yards in the pool. You start at one end of the pool. You serpentine across the pool. The lane lines are pulled up. And you're coming out of the water, and you're done. So the cool part is, if we think about the what scares people off from the sport of triathlon, 1,000% is the swim.
Right.
Because what happens in the swim? It's cold water, it's current, it's kelp, it's the unknown, there's big fish, right?
Get kicked in the head.
Yeah. People hit you in the head. If you and I go for a bike ride and we get tired, we can stop. If you and I go for a run and get tired, we can stop. If we go for swimming and get tired, we die. That's a little bit of a problem. So all of a sudden, you put the swim last. You're putting people's strength at the beginning with the 5K. And you're running to the water. The water's warm. There's lifeguards. There's walls. There's everything positive is in the water now. You know, you feel good because you're heated up from doing the race. So is the pool triathlon. So the Rose Bowl one sold out, the pool triathlon, with like 900 people. Then 2 weeks earlier at what's called the Race on the Base at Los Alamitos, they used the military base, which obviously has plenty of parking. They did a 5K run, just a regular 5K to start out. And they had, you know, a few thousand people just doing the 5K. Then the first wave of the triathlon, again, a 5K run, in this case, a 12-mile bike, and then you ran in 3 loops of the airfield, and then you ran over to the pool and did the swim. Then, 2 hours later, the second wave of the triathlon. Again, both of them sold out, both of them with 900 to 1,000 folks. That's sort of the future. And I always tell people when the light bulb went on for me that the pool triathlon was the future, a number of years ago, we were at the Tinsel Triathlon, a pool triathlon, 3-mile run, 12-mile bike, 150-yard swim in a pool in beautiful Hemet, California, which is another positive of these pool triathlons. You don't need to be by a body of water. All you need is a pool.
Right.
So after the race, the announcer goes, "Hey, everyone, the Ironman is going to be on NBC later today. You should tune in and watch it." Well, the guy standing next to me has his belly hanging out. He's got his board shorts on. He's got his bike with the high bars with the koozie on it with the fuzzy raccoon seat cover. And he had just done a 3-mile, 12-mile, 150-yard swim in a pool. His wife goes, "Honey, he just started talking about something called the Ironman. What's the Ironman?" And the guy did not hesitate for a second. He goes, "Same thing I just did, a little longer." And that's what hit me. It was like, oh, my God.
Yeah.
If there wasn't a swim in this thing, if it was a run and a bike, there would be 150 people there. But the fact that people could become a triathlete by swimming in a pool led to this event. And all the pools, we have like 9 of them here in Southern California now. Every one of them sells out.
Nice.
And it's I think it's the future. I really do. I think it's a great way to get new people into the sport. And personally, and I've talked to USA Triathlon about this, you have to, with all the competition out there, you need to be out there recruiting.
Right.
And you need to give people opportunity to be successful. So knowing that they're a triathlon is sexy. People want to be triathletes. And that's why I think this is the future. And the first time I went to a Rose Bowl event, all the bikes in my rack, I'm in the 65 to death category now. Back then, I was probably in the 55 to death category. And all the bikes in my rack were, high bars, koozies, big butt seats. Now they're all Cervelos. They're all Trex. They're all Specialized Shiv, right?
Right.
People are taking it seriously. They're realizing, I want to do triathlon, and I don't really swim that much, but this is a way I can do triathlon, and I love it.
Sounds awesome. Hey, Bob, thanks very much for joining us.
Love it, man. Hey, Chris, thanks for everything you're doing. The more exposure there is for all of our sports, that's how we get new people to go, wait a second, Chris and Bob are talking about this pool triathlon thing, or they're talking about 5Ks. Well, what am I waiting for? Put that number on, right? And once you put the number on, you're part of our world.
You got that right. And you can follow Bob Babbitt on babbittville.com. All the information's there for Breakfast with Bob, which was a great series all about all the Ironman competitors during the World Championships. And, of course, Bobbittville Radio.
Yep, all that stuff. And we'll actually be doing our Breakfast with Bob show from Boston for the first time, from the Boston Marathon coming up in April. So it's going to be a lot of fun.
It sounds amazing. Dave's actually on the show next week talking about what's new with Boston. So
it's
timely. All the best, Bob. Thanks for joining us.
Anytime, Chris. Thank you.
All the best. It's now time for Song of the Week, and this is a one-of-a-kind album. This is Nico Case, Katie Lang, Laura Veers, with a song called Atomic Number on Running Flat Radio.
AM 800 weather is brought to you by the Bargain Annex.
Need furniture? Need credit?
Bargain Annex to the rescue!
Get your appliances and credit back on track today. The Bargain Annex inside Deppermans.
The latest forecast now from the AMA Headed Weather Center. For tonight, mainly cloudy with a 40% chance of showers, gusty southwest winds, and a low of 7. Cloudy for tomorrow, 40% chance of showers in the morning, periods of rain beginning near noon with the risk of a thunderstorm in the afternoon, the high reaching 10. Rain continuing tomorrow night, the low dropping to 5. Periods of rain for Thursday with a high of 8. For Friday, cloudy, 30% chance of flurries or rain showers, the high of 6.
Shop Lowe's in Windsor this holiday weekend. We're open on Sunday from 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. See Lowe's.ca for store hours in your area. Lowe's, never stop improving.
Running Flat Radio. This is Song of the Week. Look, it's very, very rare you'll ever have three amazing songwriters on one song doing an entire album together. Nico Case, Katie Lang, and Laura Veers. The song is Atomic Number. The album's supposed to be out in a couple of months. Not all songs on your mix have to be, Nitzareb or, some wonderful rap music. Sometimes it can just be inspirational and motivating, and this is a great example of it. So add it to your playlist. It's now time for Ben Kaplan and I Run Magazine.
This is Running Flat Radio on AM 800. Tonight's running news is brought to you by I Run.
And welcome to Running Flat Radio. Kaplan, editor-in-chief of I Run Magazine. Ben?
Yes, sir.
How are you, man?
Yeah, I can't complain. Feeling good.
Yeah?
Everything is everything, yeah. Everything is good.
You've got a race coming up?
Got a race coming up. Feeling strong. We'll see. You know, I'm sort of in the thick of things now, and we keep getting closer and closer to the big enchilada. So let's hope the tacos line up on my side.
That's awesome. Hey, what's new in running this week?
Well, I tell you, I was getting even doing some interviews earlier in the day. Of course, Rob Ford passed away today, and one of my claims to fame is I was his running coach for a little while, and we ran together. So I got to spend some time with him, and I knew him in a way that, most folks didn't. And I got to say, it was a sad, when he was running, he was, this was prior to the crack tape and prior to him becoming the most notorious person in the world and a notorious politician in the world, but he was out there and dedicated, trying. It was impressive, and he was sincere. So
I gotta tell you, my jaw is open.
Yeah, so no, it was it was something else. But I tell you, you know how running is, right? You get there and you go with someone, and all the artifice and all the demons and everything strips away, and you're just, he's just a poor schlub trying to get around a circle, in the snow, in the wet, and it's cold, but you're trying to do this thing, and he was well-intentioned. It's sad. It's sad what happens when you know. Because even, you take any addict you see or anybody you see who's on the wrong path, there's a story there, right?
Yeah.
At some point, it was like, this is not what they intended. This is not, he knew, that's not what he wanted to be. But, in the end, we are better. The angels don't always win.
Yeah, well, life happens, but yeah. Ben, help me out with this, because yeah. I've always been told, and now I've never met the mayor.
Yeah.
That he always hated runners.
Well, that's just but same with the press, right? But
He was the one that forced the marathons to either move one to the fall, move one to the spring, or else he just got rid of them all. I mean, he was kind of ruthless to road racing in Toronto. So when I hear that he was actually attempting to run and working with you, I've never heard that side of him.
Well, that's why, I mean, that, you know, that's why I actually, this is a good, I have a good story, and, you know, and it's a unique vantage point, because I tell you, and you know, when you're big like that and you have the wrong clothes on, you know, it's, running's not an easy thing to do.
No.
You know, any dentist's wife in Malibu can go on the boardwalk, you know what I mean? It's the, but for some of us, when it's a little harder to do, it takes a little something extra. And, you know, he refused to give in, and he was gracious, and he was eager to learn, you know, and he was dedicated. He wanted it, you know, he was sincere. You know, it was a horrible day, and he was sticking to it. So it was like, you know, he was endeavoring as we do, but that's a tough thing to keep up.
What was his motivation?
Lose weight. You know, he wanted to get healthy. He, as he explained it to me, I don't know if at the time he was in the thralls of, you know, with his alcohol addiction, and I don't know if it was a drug addiction or if it was an alcohol addiction, and I don't know. You know, I mean, we all know tons of runners who use the sport to sort of, you know, curb their other appetites.
I mean, look, there's no doubt that, we just had Bob Babbitt on talking about triathlon and Ironman. There is no doubt in my mind that, you know, Ironman in a lot of senses is just another form of addiction that's taken over some person's life. But wow, that's amazing. So you like, dude, you're like a big onion, you know, like every time
you know,
we talk, there's something new that comes out.
I saw the buffalo, you know, I did have that. I did have that experience. I feel like, you know, I relate to it so much because he was so sincere, and he didn't keep with it. I mean, this is our whole thing. What's your sign off? Keep running, right? I mean, it's like, you know, that's the thing. It's like, it's just like, you know, whatever it takes. And what's it about? It's not about your time. You know, it's about trying to have your life be better, have some sort of meaning, you know, give yourself, feel good about yourself. You know, by keep running, you might as well just say, like, you know, keep hope alive. You know what I mean? It's like, this is what we're talking about. We're not talking about, you know, cutting off a couple minutes off of time. I mean, all that stuff is great, whatever motivates you. But, you know, the sport has the ability, and, you know, people cling to it to, you know, be a better husband, be a better dad, you know?
Absolutely, and running for a lot of us kind of clears our minds and allows us to focus on those goals, right? The goals of, you know, being in better shape, being a better person, you know, trying to work out problems and issues, you know, in our heads. You know, we're constantly doing something while we're running. That I think is the most important thing. But I never knew that Rob Ford was trying to run, and
this is why you booked the top talent on your show. This is why I Run Magazine and Running Flat are in cahoots. You know, we bring the people the stories; they need to know.
Cahoots we are. You, sir, are always a great guest. Thank you very much for contributing.
Appreciate it, my brother.
All the best, man.
Peace.
Ben Kaplan, editor-in-chief of I Run Magazine, joins us every week at this time on the show. And I want a special thanks to my guests, Bob Babbitt from Babbittville Radio, and, of course, Ben Kaplan from I Run Magazine. For information about Le Chocolat, Canada Day Run, Color Run Nights, or any other runs that we do, please go to runningflat.com. As well, go to any one of our Run Facebook pages. They're always updated with the latest of information. And follow me on Twitter at Running Flat. Thanks to all of you who are downloading the show and record. And look at this.